This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Feet up. Chilled out. All weekend. Yeah. Whatever. You were all watching Leicester, weren't you? Hey ho. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. Dave, we're going to talk about the psychology of this weird gap at the most vital point of the season as it pertains to what Kieran McKenna might be thinking. I know I've spent 2 years trying to catch up with what Kieran McKenna's thinking and never quite succeed because he's way smarter than me. But I've quite enjoyed not having any games. Maybe the terror is just going to ramp up as we get to 8 p.m. all on our own, and Leeds will have played twice before then, and Leicester will have played twice before then, and Southampton will have played twice before then. But Dave, how have you enjoyed your Ipswich Townless weekend right in the middle of a promotion push?
Yeah, it has been quite nice, actually. I must admit, I started to watch the Leicester-West Brom game and I got so frustrated watching it. I just couldn't. And then I left it a bit and came in just after half time, I think on about maybe in the hour or maybe just
before. Was Hamza Chowdhury wearing his Superman?
The header off the Chowdhury header off the line. How on earth did they didn't score then? I don't know. And after that, I said, no, I can't watch any of this. And then, of course, I saw the telegram thing of bollocks, Vardy scored, and oh god, I'm alive. But you know, it was just, I mean, we've won games by some fine margins quite admittedly this season, but that was just ridiculous, wasn't it? I mean, West Brom, goodness me, the chances. But having said that, yeah, it was quite nice to watch a very nervy Leicester, but look, fair play, as we know at this stage, it's the 3 points that matters in them. And yeah, they just about, well, they did enough. They just about fell over the line, didn't they? So they're in let's face it, they're in a pretty strong position now. So much so, and we got this right, that if Leeds lose at Borough and they beat South...
Mate, this is most of the podcast doing this. Spoilers, match, though. Yeah, don't worry about that just yet, Dave. We are going to
okay.
go.
Well, look, so you know, answer that. Yeah, you know, at first I didn't think it. I thought, Christ, you know, this 2 week break, it's not going to do us any favours, is it? But you know, coming out of that Watford game and the Borough game, I think, yeah, maybe it will. And we're hearing noises that certain players might be back in. That certain players who should remain unnamed might well be back in contention, which, yeah, also fills you with a lot more hope. So, yeah, the short answer, I quite enjoyed it.
There was a moment there, Ben, where Dave nearly started. First, I was afraid. I was petrified.
And okay.
Just talking about that big moment on the podcast. Sorry, Keith.
Rich, I'm going to stand up for Leicester because I think what that game proved is we are at the point in the promotion race where what has appeared to be very, very simple for some good football teams all season, now, with the pressure, with the context, people make out that, oh, well, you know, a game in October is the same as a game now because it's just 3 points. Bollocks. You saw how Leicester, and that was a big win in very trying circumstances. You know, I'm fed up of the word luck being bandied about. They got over the line. They just won. If I see Ipswich do that at least twice in the next couple of weeks, I'll be very happy, Rich. But same question to you, fella. How was your Ipswich Townless men's team weekend?
Yeah, well, come on. It was good. And I have to say, we like blowing our own trumpet on this podcast. Let's be honest, we do. The Telegram group adds a real dimension when we have got a weekend off or a day off, because the ebb and flow of that, you know, as Dave was saying, the emotion there was, at least it kept it interesting for us. And we will talk about Coventry later on, by the way, as well, and VAR maybe. But today I had some ITFC drama, and coming from two goals behind like the men did against Cardiff to win, but they got one more, 4-2. And big shout out to friends of Blue Monday sponsor Lucy O'Brien. They got herself a hat trick, no less, as well, including a penalty, putting to shame some of the stuff we've seen at Wembley today and in the Champions League in midweek. So, yeah, really great result for them today. Three in a row, coming a little bit too late, sadly, for their season. But it was a bit of football, Ben, and a little bit of an emotional kind of, I got to shout and scream a little bit, which is always good on the weekend. You kind of miss that, I think, you know, as much as the context of the matches and the debate about the games and all the talking points and stuff like that. A lot of us go to football just to vent and, you know, let the stress of the week out. And so I was fortunate to have that this Sunday, and ITFC Women, as I said, doing us proud. And you're totally right. In terms of the chat about West Brom, Leicester, yeah, I mean, there's a point where you kind of just have to say fair play, you know, and Hamza, it's not lucky that Hamza Chowdhury is blocking these things. He's in the team specifically to do that kind of stuff. It's not like the keeper has kind of went, oh, do you know what? I'll let you have it. You know, that's his job. I'm harnessing Roy Keane. That's his job. So yeah, any result, Ben, any result. However, if we beat Hull and Coventry and Huddersfield with three own goals, I will not care, and Leicester will not care about the circumstances of the game. It won't be talked about after this weekend. So, yeah, fair play, Leicester.
Yeah, the Chowdhury was just unbelievable. The first one I thought was probably the best of the lot when he just went.
Dave, before you come in, Dave, it was a perfect hat trick. He did one with the right foot, one with the left foot.
Incredible. Was it the first one where Johnston, the great move? Johnston does everything right. I think
didn't do
Johnston
a lot wrong,
moves,
did he?
Moves it on his right foot, hits it across the keeper. Chowdhury is there, isn't he? I mean, it's great defending, you've got to say.
Yep.
Right. Welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. If you are here live and in the chat, you're going to get a lot of say tonight, because obviously we don't have an Ipswich Town game to review, which, that takes out about 25 minutes if we're reviewing a win and about 9 minutes if we're reviewing a defeat. So you should get your say in. If you're listening after the fact on audio, we appreciate the hell out of you. Enjoy the chit-chat in your gameless week. Received a bit of criticism on TWTD this week for being, quote, doom-mongers, which interests me a lot. So if the person who put that criticism up, I'm not hard to find, would like to have a chat with me, not in front of an audience, so I can really tell them what I think of that criticism, then I would invite them to take up the opportunity of having that chat. But our job here, ladies and gentlemen, is to talk about what is going on in the promotion race. We will be talking about other teams that are not Ipswich Town. What? We will be making prognostications on what certain results may mean in the future. If you're one of these people who loves to shut down those types of conversations by saying, oh, we just need to look after ourselves, we just need to win our games, we just need to be positive, honestly, probably stop listening now, because we're going to try and have a real fun chat.
Unless you want to come up with an agenda for us, because frankly, you know, we ain't got a huge amount to talk about, folks. I could do 90 minutes on ITFC whenever you want, but yeah, come on. We're trying to give you knowing the situations, Ben, trying to figure out the permutations, maybe trying to have a bit of a debate about, I think it's good for everyone's sense and mental health, because it's a tense time, and let's just chill out.
It is indeed a tense time. So we're going to have a look at the results. We're going to have a look at what, you know, we're going to theorize. We don't know. You don't know. I don't know, et cetera, on what these things may mean. We'll probably try and make arguments that every single result has in some way gone in favor of our running. But let me stick these up, Dave, and we'll get some reaction, and then we'll get some chat. Prognostications.
Not a word.
Word of the night. Thank you.
That's not even a word.
Everybody.
That wouldn't.
Feedback. Feedback is a gift, says Brian. Some feedback.
Constructive feedback is a gift.
Feedback that compliments my hair generally goes over best. Anyway, where's me score lines? There we go. I went very Suffolk then, didn't I? So, Leicester 2, West Brom 1 was very big at the top of the table. So was Cardiff 2, Southampton 1. Where have we seen that before? Now, this could be very big when we get to round 46. Huddersfield 0, Swansea 4. I think you all know where I'm going with that. Huddersfield could be relegated next week in round 45 before we play them in round 46. Norwich 1, Bristol City 1. Everything kind of snarled up a little bit in terms of the playoff race. Honestly, shoot me down. I've already complimented Leicester. Could have done with Norwich winning that, actually, and increasing the gap between them and Coventry and Hull. But Coventry and Hull play on Wednesday. We will know more then in this incestuous run-in. This is an unhelpful result. Rotherham 0, Birmingham 0. Honestly, could have done with Birmingham being another 2 points ahead of Huddersfield going into round 46. But game of the century next weekend, Huddersfield versus Birmingham, ladies and gentlemen.
How at Huddersfield, that? Is it, Ben?
At Huddersfield, oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Could have done with that being at Birmingham, yeah, agreed. Yeah. Stoke 3, Plymouth 0. Stoke very nearly safe. Plymouth were probably very nearly safe last week until a result this afternoon that I'm going to talk to you about that's thrown a grenade into the relegation picture. Sunderland 0, Millwall 1. There is a callback on that to Sheffield Wednesday, who play Sunderland on the last day of the season. And at the moment, you fancy them to go there and win. Watford 0, Hull 0 is probably helpful. We could have done without Hull closing the gap on Norwich, and they didn't. It stayed exactly the same. And indeed, West Brom did close the gap on West Brom. QPR 1, Preston 0. Again, with my Ipswich hat on, Dave, Preston play Leicester and Preston look like they are done to me, which may be bad news. Could have done with them in a playoff fight, but I'm sure we'll get 100 comments saying, oh, just concentrate on what we've got to do. Blackburn 1, Sheffield Wednesday 3 is a gigantic result in the relegation zone. Again, could have done with Blackburn winning that, and that would have put more pressure down on Wednesday and Huddersfield in the bottom three for the final game of the season. Dave, I'm going to bring you up the championship table, and we have new information. Leicester City are now on 91 points. So they're 2 points ahead of us, Dave. They play on Tuesday night at home to Southampton. Leeds play tomorrow night away at Middlesbrough. Let's just focus on Leicester now, Dave. They are 4 points ahead of Leeds United. Remember, a 7-point gap going into round 45, and they would be promoted, which I think is what you were potentially alluding to, Dave, weren't you? In terms of Leeds losing to Middlesbrough, Leicester beating Southampton, that would be 94 to 87 with two games to go, all done and dusted. One place to play for, if my maths is correct, which it won't be for a lot of tonight. Dave, your thoughts on the significance of Leicester City's win at the weekend and the state of the table at the top?
Yeah, I've touched on the significance of that, as people have been saying in the chat. Performance didn't really matter. How they won didn't really matter. Whether they had 3 kicked off the line or 23 kicked off the line, they got the points. That's all that matters. Honestly, think whatever Leeds do tomorrow night, whatever they do, if Leicester beat Southampton, I know mathematically they're not, but that will see them up, I think. That will see them up. Forget who have they got to play in the
Preston and Blackburn.
Might have something to play for on the last day, perhaps. Well, if things go badly for them.
Yeah. Potentially, but I honestly think whatever the Leeds result tomorrow, if Leicester beat Southampton, that will be a massive statement win, that one. And I think that'll as good as put them up. However, Southampton, yeah, well, you touched on that their result in the Footmob stuff just back then. I think that, I mean, if Leicester obviously looked very nervy yesterday, as you said, got the job done, but a half decent performance from Southampton, as we know what they're capable of, could well see them get a result at Leicester. However, looks like they're going to be missing Stuart Armstrong. He stretched it off yesterday, so you've got to assume, Ben, that he may well be missing, which will be a big miss to them. Great player, probably arguably Adam Armstrong aside, he's probably been their best player this season. So,
Bazunu as well, Dave. Don't know if
Bazunu, the keeper, is out for 9 months. Did I say? I assume that's God, a cruise ship, was it? I assume it was. I don't know. I mean, these games are just crazy, aren't they? But Leicester Saints game is massive, and I honestly think if Leicester win that, that'll get them over the line.
Where are you on this, Rich? Dave's sort of numbers there. He's right, isn't he? If Leicester go to 94, what is Leeds' maximum upside? 96. Yeah. So you are then, and with Preston and Blackburn. Also, if Leicester beat Southampton, I know we've been trying to put Southampton to bed for weeks and weeks and weeks. Mathematically, they are not out of it, but that was a crushing defeat at Cardiff. Where are you on this top of the table, Rich?
Yeah, I mean, I've anticipated draws in these matches. That's kind of how my process or maths is going there. But it does kind of feel like this weekend might have shifted the balance. I think we ideally want to keep Southampton in the mix as long as possible because we want that last game of the season to mean something against Leeds. That could be useful for us. But it does kind of feel like psychologically, and you know, this is all kind of very intangible at the moment, for Leicester to hold out seemingly against the odds, and for Southampton to do an Ipswich at Cardiff and to chuck it away so late on, and to have had seemingly so many more chances than we managed to get at Cardiff as well. The injuries that Dave talks about as well, I do kind of feel like Leicester would be favourites. I'm trying to do stuff off screen. Is it at Leicester? It's not. Yeah. So for that reason as well, I think the crowd, there was definitely chat in Telegram. I didn't watch the game, but it sounded like the crowd were edgy at times as well. But that win, as we know, a win makes, you know, all the difference there. If Leicester's fans are up for it, if the players are up for it, Southampton, I think possibly a Leicester win does it. I think Dave's right.
Yeah, and I think it was Jacob said in the chat, what's the best result to hope for in the Leicester v Saints game? Dave, you're honestly hoping for the, as Rich says, for the Southampton win, because you want two places to play for, even if that does bring a fourth potential team in to have a pop at you, doesn't it?
Kind of, and then obviously you've got the elephant in the room of the last game of the season, be it Leeds and Southampton. I mean, it's nuts, isn't it? Ideally you want a Southampton win, as you're right, just to keep three teams interested in. Yeah, maybe even still Southampton with an outside shout. But yeah, a Leicester win, and as Nick, I think, said in the chat, it's a shootout between us and Leeds then, I think.
It is, Rich.
Well, it is. I think it is. Yeah.
In terms of Southampton, you've got this situation where you've got Leicester and Southampton, someone's guaranteed to drop points, Leeds and Southampton. The gift would almost be thrown away if that was Southampton dropping all the points in both of those head-to-heads, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And as I said, draws are not unhelpful for us either. I know it probably does Leicester more favours at this point, but I do think keeping Southampton in it, I mean, all of this is kind of irrelevant for Ipswich if we lose to Hull and lose to Coventry, isn't it? We kind of, all of this hypothetical that we're doing is contingent on Ipswich turning up and doing our job here. But in terms of keeping that interest, I do think that leads Southampton. I felt since all of us, I'm sure, felt as soon as we saw that fixture in kind of August, September time when the league was starting to kind of form in its early stages, we kind of thought it would be great if it goes to the last day with those two having to face each other, because the jeopardy there.
I didn't think we'd be anywhere near him when I started looking at it.
No, we kind of thought it'd be interesting, I think, for the narrative for the league more generally. But now for us, as it pertains to us, that's such a meaningful game, isn't it? And therefore, I think you kind of want at least a draw for Southampton in that one to keep that one going to the final day. Because they've got, is it Stoke after that? And then Southampton. So they'd fancy their chances at home to Stoke, who are, as you said, Ben, kind of on the beach now, aren't they? I think they've made the cut. Are they still in it?
Mathematically, they'll probably be unlikely, safe in round 45. Yeah, but
okay.
We're looking through...
At home. Southampton at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, quite. Let's talk about Leeds United, Dave, because they're possibly, unless we get a Southampton win tomorrow night, they're possibly the most relevant team to be looking at. And yes, before I get the comments, I know the most relevant team at Ipswich Town. We get it. We get it, guys. So Leeds go to Middlesbrough tomorrow night. So they play last, you know, in terms of round 44. And then they play first in round 45 because they go on a Friday night to QPR. And someone has probably gone up there in the chat, made a really good point that the Sheffield Wednesday result actually puts something on QPR now, needing to get something. Because as Rich was just saying, if Sheffield Wednesday had lost today to Blackburn,
we would
be virtually safe. And you'd be talking about Wednesday and Huddersfield would then be needing 6 points out of six and a 20-goal swing or whatever to catch any of the teams with 50 points. Talk to me about Leeds United, Dave. They've got two away games, both on TV. The pressure's on. They're faltering. Everybody's faltering. Middlesbrough away on Monday.
Yeah.
And QPR have been there many times for an evening game.
Oh, it's
tight.
It'll be bouncing. It'll be absolutely bouncing. Look, Borough are just about out of it. Pretty much. Norwich, sixth, plus 16, 72 points. All right, Borough got three games left, but they're out of it. Plus five goal difference, 9 points behind. So they're out of it. Thought they looked useful.
Dave, just jump on. I mean, this is a point that Nick Ames made in the Telegram group. Cardiff are out of it. They beat Southampton.
No.
There are so many teams that are kind of...
I think,
of course, I just wanted to add it into the mix because I think we're all maybe guilty of kind of thinking a lot of teams are on the beach and seemingly for this season, this weird season that we keep talking about, these teams keep doing stuff. Watford did stuff. Borough drew with us, didn't they? And it's interesting.
I disagree.
Do you not?
No, I disagree. Quite right. If it's on the beach thing, I see teams playing with freedom. You know, teams playing with freedom.
Yeah.
Players potentially out of contract, playing for contracts maybe.
Season ticket sales have got to be made.
Everything. You know, so, you know, wanted to, and we've all been there with dead seasons, haven't we? You just want to finish the season on a high, don't you, and carry that form. And look at Borough, you know, Borough's form over the last half a dozen, maybe even 10 games has been up there. It's certainly been top six form, probably, hasn't it? Well, Ben probably has, without doubt.
And red hot striker as well.
Oh, yeah. Look, I thought they looked very good. I thought we played well against Borough last week. I really did. But I thought they looked pretty good. I mean, Leeds, goals dry. They haven't scored in two games. Unheard of. Two home games, no goals. I mean, you know, with that, as we've all banged on about it before, that much vaunted front four, or that forward line is seemingly dried up, hasn't it? And seemingly, what is ever more obvious is just how much they're reliant now on Somerville to really pull out something special. Blackburn game solved that. I think they ran out of ideas pretty much and were just intent on giving it to Somerville. And he's got it in his locker, we know that. But it's almost the case, famous last words now, of if you can stop Somerville, certainly these last few games, you're going a long way to stopping, to stopping Leeds. But look, that's not to say that they'll turn up at, you know, as we know, they've got the players, they've got the squad, they could turn up at Borough and really, and obviously turn them over. But no, difficult one. And I certainly take your point about QPR, tight atmosphere, Friday night, under the lights.
It's been putting on good points totals. We've got to give Cifuentes and Danny Roller from Sheffield Wednesday from December time. They've been putting a lot of points on the...
You have to say it. If Leeds go away this week and win both those games, then...
Oh, well played.
Yeah, mate, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Fingers crossed they don't, obviously. Many things. But yeah, if they do that, then fair play to them. But it will still be in our hands come Saturday evening.
Man, well, that's come up a few times that obviously if you have a two-point lead over somebody with three games to go and they have the goal difference on you, then it's just match what they do or minus one of what they do. And minus one of what they do could be them scoring seven and us scoring six. potentially. So, you know, there is that side of it too. Goodness me. Yeah, lots of people pointing out a couple of Ayling and Greenwood on loan. And yes,
Ayling was outstanding against us, wasn't he?
Ayling would have been playing against Somerville as well.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he on that side of the pitch?
Yeah, he'll be a miss. Good point.
There you go. So that's a little bit of a chit-chat about what everybody else has been doing. We are going to come on and talk about us. Rich, do you want to just do the plugs quickly? And then I'll go to... Actually, let me go to Innovation Labs first, and then you do the plugs after. And then we're going to talk about our games. My God, imagine that. And then we will do some questions. So prime them up. Don't put them in yet. But here is 33 seconds from our friends at Innovation Labs.
Innovation Labs, providing co-working and innovation hubs across East Anglia. We're the perfect place for remote workers, freelancers, startups, or innovators to do business. Our unique member network creates extensive business development and collaboration opportunities. Hot desks are available from £20 a day or £99 per month, with business coaching also available from £50. Innovation Labs, turning your ideas into multi-million pound businesses. Located in Stowmarket, Ipswich, Sudbury, with new sites in Thetford, Norwich and Kuala Lumpur opening soon.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across six different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Rich, do you want to get the plugs going?
Yeah, if you want to get out into the world and start your business, then you can rock up to an innovation lab. But if you'd rather do it from home and want to be secure while you're doing that, then use NordVPN. There's a link in the description. You get a discount and we get a cut of it as well. So everybody's happy. In terms of other bits and pieces, we are delighted to kind of do some collaboration with Glory Days Artwork. GloryDaysArtwork.co.uk. There's some stuff behind me as well. You can see their t-shirts, mugs, all that kind of stuff. Lots of choice over there. So go give Tam Fan doing great stuff. Give him your support at Artwork Days on Twitter. We are also, and more information to follow on this, I've got to keep it very light touch because everything is still in discussions, in negotiations. But we are supporting Neil Warnock live at the Ipswich Region, guys. So keep a look on that. 7th of June, if you want to get involved, and we've got hopefully some stuff we can do with the Telegram group there as well. Head over to the Telegram group, Blue Monday, itfc.co.uk. All the links for all the cool stuff over there, including Telegram. But yeah, more to come on that one. It's still early days there, but be great to see folk there. But what a great night that could be, and some, I'm sure it'll be a really interesting, insightful evening with one of the characters of the game. In terms of here on the podcast, we are kind of trying to take advantage of the break ourselves. We did have some plans for some content earlier in the week, but it didn't really work out. So the pre-match show will be back Thursday, usual 8 p.m. time slot live. Seb and I will be getting all excited about actual football as we talk about Hull on Saturday. And then the flagship will be back here after the fact to talk about it live Sunday, 8 p.m. Hopefully with some positivity to talk about there. So I think, Ben, that's all the big stuff.
That is indeed all the big stuff. And the big stuff kicks off again on Saturday night. Should we do a simulcast watch along? I'll be watching along that one at Hull. So we may well stick that down the Blue Monday channel as well. If anyone's terrified on TV and they don't want to hear from the lovely Gary Weaver or Daniel Mann or Andy Hinchcliffe.
Don Goodman. Everyone's favourite.
Or whoever.
Andy Hinchcliffe, yeah.
Yeah, we'll be across that on Saturday night. But Shaley's going to a hen do. I've got Enid all day. So I may be flagging a little bit at that point with the two-year-old. Right, let's get into this then. First of all, Dave, how would you have approached... and we think we know the answer is there's been a few days off and then straight back in. We think there was a practice game as well, don't we? How would you have approached a 2-week gap at this point?
Vegas, baby.
Yeah. How would I have approached it? Well, I think seemingly, I think Rich touched on it there. I think seemingly, so we understand from Instagram or whatever, that I think the players had a little bit of time off last week.
Not to Vegas, legally, before.
I don't think it was in Vegas. Well, no. Apparently so, which can only be a good thing, get them away from the pressures of it all, probably. And then, obviously, training at the back end of this week. And, quite, again, from what we understand, some sort of leaked picks yesterday of sort of almost looked like a full-on 11-11 at Portman Road yesterday. So, look, you know, our coach, the manager, he'll just keep a calm head over everything. I bet he doesn't even know what the Leicester score was yesterday. He'll keep a calm head and just get the players in the right frame for, I mean, yeah, it's another whole week, isn't it? You know, Hull away next Saturday evening. I mean, it's unusual. I mean, at this stage of the season, it's just so unusual, isn't it? But yeah, I think there were certainly signs of tiredness in the Watford and Borough games. Although I said, I thought we played well against
Borough.
There's
been signs of tiredness through the entire 2020 league.
Obviously, there was a bloody hell 46 game, as we know. So, be interesting. Well, so, as I touched on at the start, it'll be interesting to see if there are certain players back in the squad and back in contention, which would be absolute. What a lift that would be. And looking forward to it. I mean, Hull missed a big chance yesterday, didn't they, at Watford. They were still got a game in hand on Norwich, but big chance yesterday. I think Toufan missed a penalty, didn't he, just before half-time, I think it was.
Toufan, the player to watch on last week's Championship Checking podcast with Sam Parkin.
I mean, they've got, pick up some players, like Cavallio, Philogene. I think Delap has been injured, hasn't he? I don't know
if he's not played for a while.
Just looking forward to the game, but they're certainly not to be taken lightly. However, by then, they could well be out of the, playoff picture by then.
I guess, Ben, in terms of the 2-week break, as much as we're here talking about all of the kind of stuff that's happened, the ask of the players is still the same as it was 2 weeks ago, which is win all your matches. You know, it's still in our hands, as we said. I'm sure the sports psychology has moved on a little bit. Some players might want to watch the Leicester West Brom game or the Southampton games and see what the results are. Some might not. So I'm sure that there'll be a mixture in the squad, won't there? As much as Kieran McKenna, I think, probably knows what's going on, telepathically, he's that good. But he'll talk about, talk a good game kind of thing. Some players actually probably like to know what's going on around them, and I'm sure they will have been watching it. But the fact is, as you guys say, mentally, I think we just needed a bit of a break, because so much of our points tally has come through these late rallies. And against Watford and Borough, we kind of did run out of steam a little bit. I think we finished the weaker of the two teams. Obviously, Watford only scored from halfway, but Borough had a flurry of late chances. And you kind of think, 2 weeks, perfectly timed for us. We keep saying this. And therefore, I think, it'll just not have to deal with the 9-to-5, as it were, which is the 3-till-5 on a Saturday. It's hopefully some players will actually have really relished that break.
It's just going to be one of those things. And I think I said this on the show last week, maybe, or whenever I was last on. But it's one of those ones where you're going to retrofit your opinion when you know what's happened. You can make the argument that a break is good. I mean, you say, Rich, the ask is the same. It's not quite the same because you've got a 2-week break and some rest in between. But obviously the ask in terms of the output and the points.
Yeah.
So you can make the argument the break is good if we get 6 or 7 points from the last three games. And you can make the argument the rest is bad because you lose your momentum. And we're just going to fit that on, Dave, aren't we, when we know what's happened, frankly?
Well, it's an odd one, isn't it? Because did we really have momentum as such?
Two draws, isn't it?
Two draws. I mean, not wins, but goal. Draws. And
well, perhaps... Dave, the winning momentum isn't the only type of momentum.
No, I get you. And I think...
You've got Norwich in the mix as well. Derry mentioned it as well. You know, that trio of matches, there's one goal for and 2 points for, you know.
Yeah. And I think... Yeah, and as I said, I thought we played, momentum-wise, I thought we did play quite well against Burr. As Rich said, though, Plaggy kept us, kept us in it at the end. So, I mean, this could turn out to be the best thing ever, you know. If Leeds drop points, then game on, isn't it? You know, what I am fearful of, and, you know, you've got to say it, you've got to face it. If Leeds win both those games, you don't want to go the whole game chasing, do you? You just don't. That's just such a tough position. So,
especially going at 8 o'clock, Dave, isn't it? Like, and that's Saturday.
Yeah.
Again, so marginal is it, Ben? We're going to talk about the 2-week break could be good. Going 8 o'clock could be great if Leeds drop points. It could be terrible.
You try and think up. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Well, if Leeds win, it's bad. But honestly,
one knows.
I think Ben, I know you hate it, but we've just got to take care of business, and it'll be.
I don't hate it.
Take care of business.
Yeah, just don't call me an effing doommonger, for God's sake.
Yeah, doommonger.
If somebody is being balanced and you're extreme one way or the other, you will think that the balanced person is being extreme because you're extreme. But anyway, that's a lesson for you all in life generally. Dave, I just clicked this up. You'll be very pleased to see Liam Delap came on in minute 62 for Hull City. You doommonger, Dave. Oh, you're so negative.
Doommonger. What did I mention?
What about our players, Ben? Who came?
Well, just to round this bit of the chat out, it's not like an international break where your players are going to be occupied elsewhere. You don't have them for training. So that's the big difference, because I'm sure all the Leeds fans would pipe up and say, oh, that international break killed the momentum. They got a couple of injuries as well, but this is very much not that. That's a false equivalent. So hopefully we can benefit in the best way. Right.
Yeah, I'm blaming Coventry. They needn't have bloody bothered with in the quarterfinal of the cup anyway.
Do we want to talk about Coventry? We're going to talk about Coventry.
We should do.
I know it's a cliche me mentioning them, but...
Yeah, I will do, actually. That was literally the next thing I was going to say as I was finding the league table. So, 3 games remaining. The mother of all 3-game weeks, Hull on the weekend and then Coventry in the midweek. And let's not worry about Huddersfield just yet, because there's business to be taken care of before then. But I am going to say, if Huddersfield lose to Birmingham at home, they will be relegated. I think the maths is right there now, because the only team they'd be able to catch would then be Sheffield Wednesday. So they need to catch 2 teams. They're 23rd. I think I'm right with the maths. Excuse me if I'm not. Here are your league tables. And of course, just to add a lovely extra winkle to this, on Wednesday night, Hull play Coventry. So I'm sure Dave's wanting a Chelsea versus Leeds type game where they kick 7 bells out of each other and nobody exits the pitch alive. Coventry, I just want to say, fair play, who were amazing in the cup semi-final. They did themselves in the EFL.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Brilliant.
So we're going to go into the Hull game with Hull having played, and we don't know what they're going to have done, but Hull are 6 points off Norwich. If Hull were to lose the Coventry, and everyone's going to want the draw in this one, I get it. If Hull were to lose the Coventry, they're pretty much done. Norwich need 1 point from Swansea at home and West Brom indeed. West Brom have got Sheffield Wednesday. Mm. Look at the goal difference as well. It also needs an 8 or a 15 goal swing. So, Dave, would you like a 7-all draw between Hull and Coventry with 5 red cards? And we don't want to see anybody get hurt, Dave.
Absolutely duking it out. Absolutely duking it out. Yeah. I mean, look, we should give Coventry a shout for today. How fantastic they were. What a credit. Credit to the, you know, the credit to the championship. And I know Rich has got, you know, obviously spent quite a bit of time that way at uni and lived up there as well. But bloody hell, how can you imagine if it was us going through 2 penalty shooters, 1 to get in the Premier League or 1 to get in the FA Cup final in the space of 12? Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? Oh my God!
We'd be talking about curses, wouldn't we?
Oh mate, I don't even want to contemplate it. But what a shitter that VAR is. I mean, this is the one thing, and someone said in our Telegram chat just after the goal was ruled out. I mean, fair play, you know, Coventry. But my God, if we get up, fantastic. Everybody wants us to get up to the Premier League. But how the hell are we going to cope with VAR? How the hell are we going to cope with it, Rich? I know you have to because it's there, but holy shit. I mean, I just can't.
It's going to ruin so many moments, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
I mean, apart from the a VAR call ruling out that goal in the playoff final last season, you know, to get to a final, again, back at Wembley, I mean, fair play. Cov have been there. They're seemingly frequent visitors to Wembley, unlike other clubs we might not mention. But, yeah, to have two in a year, isn't it?
And the fine line of that offside today.
That's the trouble, isn't it? Christ. I mean, there's a debate to be had still about VAR. You can be factually correct where you draw a line, but it still feels against the spirit of the game. And I know it's all very intangible. But I thought it was supposed to favour the striker. When the line is directly next to each other, is that favouring the striker, really? It just kind of feels like everything is, it needs a little bit of common sense applied to it. And
you know,
I don't know
where you... I mean, that's going to take a hell of a lot out of them, isn't it? Just the, you know, the emotion of all that. All right,
two defeats in the lead up as well, Dave.
And I suppose from a town point of view, yeah, you would have wanted it to have won. So you know, we play them, you know, what, 3 weeks before the cup final, for God's sake, you know. But no, absolutely, I've got to say that an absolute credit. Having said that, my God, that Sims has improved all of a sudden, hasn't he? Crikey. Yeah. And I really like that. And there was talk about that in our Telegram group. I really like that Ben Sheaf in midfield as well. He's a player. Shocking penalty aside.
Yeah, wasn't great, was it?
Yeah, but what a player he is. So, yeah, and just a word about O'Hare. He was always going to miss that penalty. You know, he was just too confident. Well, he
peacocking going on, wasn't there?
Casual. So yeah, it's going to take them a hell of a lot. And a hell of a game. Ben, as you quite rightly said, away at Hull, to give any chance of a playoff, they have to go and win. Monumental game. Just crazy the fixture.
At Coventry.
And again, I think that in respect of our game the week after, the fact that essentially there's the homecoming for, you know, the fans will want to get behind that team. Quite rightly, they did at Wembley, but they'll want to do it in their first league game back at the CBS Arena as well. The fact that Hull are the ones that have that experience rather than us, I think, is helpful. Let's be honest, that 120 minutes and penalties and the emotion around it, it's going to be massive to try and overcome. I'm sure there'll be some rotation as well, but I think you've got a fancy Hull in that one. I think, yes, that might help our game a week's time, but it might not help us for Saturday, mightn't it? And I think that's probably what I'd expect to happen. If Coventry can get a point, you know, that's great for us. I think that would be utopia for us, I think, wouldn't it?
So, well, yeah, a point each, and they're both done.
And then Norwich relying on Norwich to do us a favour. Can you imagine such a thing?
Well, but again, you know, looking at the Norwich goal difference, Hull, they've got eight on Hull. All right, only 2 on Coventry, but they've got 8 on Hull. So, yeah, although Swansea are in some form, Ben, aren't they? I know it's 4-0 at Huddersfield yesterday, but they seem to have hit some form end of season.
Yeah, you could say the same about Norwich, though, couldn't you? Does. I think 2 things I just wanted to add in. You would, if you wanted to pick somebody to play on Saturday night, you would pick the team that was playing an away game on Wednesday, wouldn't you, in terms of Hull City? And yeah, I'll try and do my maths really, really quickly. If Coventry and Hull draw, they go to 67 and 64. So Coventry's maximum upside would then be 75. Hull's would then be 73. Basically, a Norwich win, a West Brom win. Although West Brom have got Sheffield Wednesday, and I have a sneaking feeling about Sheffield Wednesday at the moment, I have to say. Well, sneaking feeling I've had for a fairly long time. But what I'm saying is very much like we were talking about sort of Preston when they were going to Southampton the other night, where they just lost that big playoff head-to-head. You know, you could be at a point where it's pretty much done for Hull. What I will say, Dave, and Rich and Seb will get into this properly, for both Hull and Coventry, outside of the parachute teams, I would say the best investment this season has gone into those two clubs in terms of Coventry being able to bank the money for the equivalent of a parachute payment for Jokeres and Hamer. They've got goal scorers, like you say, with Sims and Wright, who, as Rich points out, may get a rest at some point before we go there next Wednesday. And then, of course, Hull, they may not make it. And I'd be very interested to see their FFP position next season, but that's another conversation. But to bring in Carvalho, who killed it for Fulham, yes, he had Wilson to the side of him and Mitrovic in front of him. I get it. Giles, who was fantastic for Middlesbrough and got the big transfer to Luton in the Premier League. And Zaruri, who was brilliant for Burnley as well. There's attacking quality in both teams, if there's not necessarily intensity, if we get that sort of Norwich win and the draw we've got our fingers crossed for in midweek.
Has Hull got a kid on loan from, is it Morton from Liverpool? Is he on loan from,
He
looks pretty useful as well. So, yeah, look, we're as far as we're concerned, we're due an away performance. I don't think we played well away from home for a good while, really, have we? I mean, again, I know this time of season, performance dirties get the win, but yeah, we are due to have a good away performance. So let's hope we're saving them up for the next two games.
It's Peter and Barnsley, we keep saying. Peter and Barnsley.
Well, it is, really. Yeah, yeah. And they were, man, yeah, I'll take 2-3-0 wins. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't Peterborough and Barnsley be like if we had to go to Southampton and Norwich this week? Back-to-back games or something, wouldn't it? Oh, my God. Dear me. There we go. I think we've set it up fairly nicely. And, yeah, that all we say could be complete nonsense and not turn out to happen. I think we've played every scenario out. But what we would love from you guys now is to get your questions in for Dave and Rich. Stick a Q in front of them and a question mark after to give yourself the best chance of getting them read. Before we go into the mother of all three game weeks, let me scroll up. Dave, Callum O'Hare on a free in the summer, anyone from Rob? This is one of these ones where it's, what league are we in?
I like him. I quite like that bit of sort of cockiness, confident. I mean, overconfident today, but I quite like that. There's a player there.
He'll sign a new deal. He's local.
But you think he'd sign a new deal? But
Burnley bid like 15 million for him at the start of the season before. Some I'll probably pull that number out of my backside. But sorry, carry on, Dave.
No, very good player, but I particularly like, again, someone else I think would probably now command big money is that Ben Sheaf. I'd quite like him strutting his stuff in our centre mid, I must admit.
Strutting. Richard, Philip, how many points do you think Leeds will get from Borough away and QPR away? Answer that in two different ways. How many do you think they'll get, and how many, with us going into our three-game week, would you be like, okay, I think we can topple that?
I would go for 4 points from those two games is what I'd expect to happen. I think you could probably justify a win against both of them, potentially if you're a Leeds fan, but I just think, 4 points. I would be delighted with two, but I think four is probably reasonable. As long as it's not 6 points, I think, Ben, if we're us. Because, let's be honest, two away games for us, I would take 4 points from them as well. So we've just got to keep doing slightly better or exactly the same as what Leeds are doing. I'd take four from Hull and Cov, wouldn't you? If Leeds, I guess, knowing what Leeds have done,
I'll take it now. Yeah, absolutely.
Can I just say that would take us to 93 points, which is just I know now, and I will totally get it if people say, shut up, Ben. The totals are irrelevant. Where we've been is irrelevant. It's a three-game league now. Score minus one against Leeds and you're promoted, essentially. I get that now. So I do think we have to park the we're just happy to be here, 93 points, rah-rah stuff. It is literally who can get over the line.
Ben, sorry, very quickly, for like all of February, well, pretty much January, February, March, we were talking about these unprecedented point tallies. And it is interesting how everyone has regressed kind of back to it's a high-performing mean, but it's the mean nevertheless, isn't it? When we were talking about Leicester on 115 or something like that, you know, it will be a surprise if anyone gets to 100, if I'm honest.
It puts into perspective what Steve Coppell and Reading did to get 106, which is basically you have one bad run in the entire season and barely lose. Right, let's move these on. Dave, Football Head 7. Do you worry we'll be too pragmatic against Hull given their attacking power? Bear in mind, we don't know what the target is. And then Dave, you've got, okay, you got three strikes at this to get the points over the line.
I mean, that,
but you can rule them all off after each game.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Don't know what the target is, and you know, we know what the manager says, that we don't really look at what other teams are doing. Well, I'm sorry. Yes, you will. And if, I mean, blimey, I can't even explain it. But look, if Leeds, yeah, only get 2 points, two draws, so you're still, yeah, well, no, you actually you'll be behind them on goal difference. But with that, knowing that two wins will basically get you there, I think it's a completely different mentality to if Leeds win both those games, then it's just a completely different thing, isn't it? It's got to be a completely different mindset. It's such a tough one, that one, isn't it? How do you prepare the players for that? You can only do it. At least we'll know. Come 8 o'clock Saturday evening, he'll know what needs to be done. The players will know what needs to be done. Christ, Leeds might lose twice.
Yeah. Unless you're shutting them in a dark room for 2 weeks, there's literally, you know, there's no way mindsets cannot. It's human nature, isn't it? And you're right. I think performance levels at this point in the season,
irrelevant.
I think we'll start to collapse. You know, what's the word I'm looking for? We'll kind of be calibrated against what we have to do versus what we would love to do is just smash these three teams, get 9 points and sail into the sunset. And I think we all know that that's not how it works. Sadly.
The fly in the ointment quickly. Sorry, Dave. Feels like you've been the most interrupted tonight. And it's normally the other way around, isn't it? But in the ointment is this minus one thing. If you're Leeds, you say 9 points, there is no minus one because the next nearest you can get is 7. So if Leeds score 9 points, Ipswich need to score 9 points. And that's their, you know, kind of, oh, it's awful. I know when you think about that. But like you said, Dave, if you can knock out a win streak to end the season, you are doing very,
look,
you'd very
still,
well.
Look, as it stands, as of now, you would rather be in our position. I know it's two away games here, but Leeds got two away games. You'd rather be in our position. It's in our hands. Whatever Leeds do.
Try and get through some more questions. Richard, hypothetically, we get promoted and Leeds and Southampton don't. Which of their players would you want to sign? Talking about signing Taylor Harwood-Bellis for 15 million.
That chat's already started, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. As weird as it sounds, I'm not sure we'd be able to get fees for those players because I think they'd be asking 20, 30 million at least. And I'm not sure that's as much as we love Premier League.
We're
going to
have 1 year of League One, Rich, on our FFP position in the Premier League if we go up as well. It's going to be ridiculous.
I just can't imagine us shopping in the 30, 40 million pound market. And I like us to sign Flynn Downs. I think Flynn Downs would be an excellent signing for us. Mm-hmm. He's on loan there, isn't he, from West Ham? I think that's a 10 million pound signing potentially. Mm-hmm. Harwood Bellis, I think, is possibly achievable. He's on loan as well. It'll be players who are on loan, isn't it, at these clubs. And the trouble Leeds, I think, own most of their players.
And Rodon have
loaned them out. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Can I take this one, guys? Nick, how much trouble is the Forest social media manager in after his post-match tweet today? I'll do this really, really quickly. Nottingham Forest, great club. Everyone knows mine and Dave's love for Brian Clough. You cannot call somebody a cheat and question their objectivity without evidence. That is so so poor. It's happened to me where I've given an opinion on something and someone said, you said that because you're an Ipswich fan and you can foxtrot Oscar if you're going to question anyone's objectivity without. So, yeah, as much, even if they were nailed on penalties, you can't.
Yeah.
As Alex Ferguson said to Eric Cantona, Eric, you can't do that. Move on. Dave, would you take going into the Huddersfield game
needing
a win for promotion?
Yes. What? Of course.
Yes, Trevor.
Especially, yes, Dave. Trev. If Birmingham have beaten them and they're already relegated, right?
Yeah, the alternative being, presumably, we've got it done and dusted before then, right?
Yeah.
Which although, I just can't see
well, means Leeds means need that. To slip up against Southampton and we need to beat
them. Then Southampton could beat Leicester and then Southampton could win two on the trot and they'll be the new Leeds, won't they?
So, I'd welcome anything. A flashback to the last season where we're playing Huddersfield on the last day of the season when we're 5-0 up at half-time. That would be very nicely, thank you.
My God. Paul. If it's the playoffs for us, does that count as a good season from what we expected to start, Richard, or a bit of a failure given where we found ourselves?
I mean, it's absolute success, isn't it? It's a bit, in terms of, I'm going to quote my learned colleague, it's a bit of both in respect of knowing where we've been in the league table for the last few weeks and it being in our hands to let it slip would be, I guess, in the context of the last 3-4 weeks of the season would be a kind of failure. But in the grand scheme of things, for us to be anywhere near the top two, let alone the top six at this stage, is nothing but extraordinary from this team, this manager. So I'm very happy with however our season pans out, frankly, from here. But wouldn't it be great if it's top two?
This question from John Dave brings about a possible horrible, horrible scenario. Wow. John says 5 points from Town's remaining games. Do you think that's enough? That would take Ipswich to 94, meaning if Leeds got 7, we would literally be goal difference and a 4-0 defeat at Elland Road would have been the difference between promotion and not, Dave. 5 points could be enough, but there's the potential you don't go up on goal difference then, Dave.
That would be an absolute, I'll say it again, sickener, wouldn't it? That would be, that really would be horrific. So, question, John. No, I don't think 5.
No, it won't be.
No.
I think
2 wins and a draw, 7 points, I think we'll get us there.
It's like the cliche, anywhere else on the pitch, that's a penalty. Any other time in the season, 5 points from these three games is okay, isn't it? We probably have accepted that, but now it's the business end.
Two wins and a draw, I think.
Though, Dave, is if you get the 2 wins, we'd be on 95, which would mean Leeds would have to win all 3 of the games because... So Leeds with then 7 would be on 94. So that's the one, is 2 wins from the last 3 means, I'm right in saying that, Leeds would have to win all of the last 3. Apologies for my maths. It's never been my strong suit.
And Southampton Leeds on the last day as well. Need to keep saying that every time.
Fair. Matt, is an advantage of the break, the possible psychological advantage of getting Burns and perhaps Hurst back in the match they scored for the final 3 games, Rich?
Yes, definitely. If they are fit, that's the trouble, isn't it? I guess the question I'd be posing back to you guys is a 80% fit, 85% fit Wes Burns / George Hurst worth the risk with the potential of them breaking down and them needing 6-9 months out? That's, I guess we're hoping that they are fully fit and maybe this practice match they had at the weekend, if that's what they did, as kind of confirm they're ready for it. But if it's fully fit, Burns and Hurst, great, Matt. If it's not, then it's good to have the bodies on the bench, isn't it? But is it going to be a huge amount of an advantage? It's questionable, isn't it?
Surely you would think, given the length of time that both have had out, you would think Burns has got to be more advanced, surely, than Hurst.
I guess we don't know, do we? That's the trouble. The other advantage of the 2 weeks is we've talked about how Kiefer Moore has been carrying a back injury, didn't look his usual self. If he's fully rested and back up to kind of 95 to 100% fitness, then there's less pressure on George Hurst. I think Wes Burns is the one that we missed the most.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are we here? Sorry, more and more questions.
We just say there's our stats say that there are over 600 people watching this in various different media.
Yeah, I think it's gone weird with Twitter at the moment with those numbers.
X is maybe skewing it, but nevertheless, yeah, we appreciate you. Thank you. Do give us a thumbs up and a subscribe, and thank you to the folk who gave us a review on Apple Podcast. Oh, yeah. We saw you. We appreciate you. Thank you, especially from Seb and I, for the love from one person for the pre-match show as well. Thank you, the one person. But yeah, thank you everyone for getting involved. It proves that there's nothing on TV on a Sunday night. Maybe no. Let's be positive. Thanks everyone.
Better than the review we got on TWTD.
Let it go, man. Let it go.
Doom mongers. I think I've nearly shrugged it off. Now, nearly. One more question. Okay, Romeo. If you were offered, David, a time machine to fast forward you to the end of the season right now, would you take it, or do you love the fun stress of the situation? If we're ever going to reveal my behaviour around the away local derby, you'll know my answer is probably keep me away from it. Just play the games and tell me the bloody outcome. But Dave, people keep asking me, Ben, are you going to go to the last game? I've got my season ticket. The chance to see Ipswich Town be promoted to the Premier League or utter heartbreak, you've got to be there.
Don't you think it's easier, me personally, it's easier to be, it's far easier to cope with the stress being in the ground, isn't it? Rather than see, don't you think,
no.
Rich?
No.
Really?
No.
Honestly. Oh, man, I'm terrible in front of the TV.
I know. Are in front of the TV?
In the ground,
yeah, you know what I mean?
Romeo's hypothetical is saying is you just skip to the end. You miss the games entirely. I agree with you.
Oh, sorry, I was saying what Ben was saying. Sorry, I totally ignored
TV
your question.
TV stadium, 100% stadium. I would happily lock myself in a cupboard for 2 weeks.
One at a time, you
yeah.
two.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's the stress and the anxiety is half the fun, isn't it? It's half the fun. Is it fun?
Journey.
I don't know. I think you hear it, Rich, when someone said about would it be a failure if it's playoffs and we don't make it, da da da. I know we've said this the last few weeks, but Christ, we just got to enjoy the moment, haven't we? You have to, no matter what, no matter how stressful, how anxiety, how it ends up, you just got to really appreciate the season and enjoy it. Good God.
Agreed.
Richard?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. But if Romeo's time machine existed, I would quite happily jump in it and go to the 5th of May or whatever it is. And what would be even better is we can crowdfund this. How much for me to not follow any of the games, to turn off my socials, and then to do a podcast not knowing the games and for the rest of
that'd
them.
Be magnificent,
for me to react to them in real time, that would be quite cool. But
I think you could probably, whoever was on the podcast with you, though, you could probably tell.
We'll do half an hour, Rich. We'll do half an hour.
From Ipswich Town, old boy has nailed it. The emotion is the whole point, isn't it? It's totally right. The best thing and the worst thing simultaneously, Dave, about watching football.
And you know, how long I've been a supporter, and I've seen every single guy. Honestly, this club through the seasons have pulled me this way and that way, but yeah, let's just, fingers crossed, we win these three games, get up, no stress at all. We then win the next two, go into that Huddersfield game, promotion party, how cool would that be? I mean, last year, I couldn't be there on the day, but it was just something else. Can you imagine getting promoted to the Premier League? It's just, well.
And beating the teams that we will have beaten
together.
I couldn't
for most of the lifespan of this podcast. Richard, what have we got going on this week to round out?
Hull on Saturday will be meat in the sandwich that is the pre-match show. I didn't know I was going there for a second. The pre-match show Thursday, 8 p.m. live with Seb and I. The flagship show on Sunday, 8 p.m. with a configuration of these great people probably, and maybe Joseph Fares, perhaps. We'll get Joseph Fares back involved. And we'll do a little bonus Coventry preview, I suspect, next week, which will go out on the Monday as well. So there is plenty of stuff going on. And if the emotion is too much for you, if you want to release constructively some of that with your thoughts and your hypotheticals, the Telegram group, I can massively pat the back of our Telegram group. We're trying to make sense of it. We've got stats, we've got data, but we've got emotion as well. So come and join us there. BlueMondayITFC.co.uk, our website. Everything you need is linked there, including how to get involved in the Telegram group. But thank you everyone for joining us tonight. It's gone very quick, isn't it?
David, last word from you ahead of the biggest week in the history of the podcast.
Well, more than one word. I'm going to give Romeo my address so he can turn up outside in his DeLorean, and that'll be it. Done. No, honestly, just enjoy the moment, enjoy these games, soak it up, and let's just hope we come out of it the other side a premier team.
Doesn't Michael J. Fox play Johnny B. Goode in The Wrong Key? Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. I hope you're not too nervous. I'm not, honestly. See you next week.
It's the promotion running. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.